Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and it is cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. At one point earlier in the day, I considered opening the program by running the opening that you just heard and simply using the F word, because that was the first thing that came to mind when I got up this morning and saw the news. I'm troubled. I'm horrified. Feel stricken. I'm furious. And I'm trying to synthesize, because nothing makes sense. And at one point in time, I will confess that, you know, once again, the interweb tubes went down here, and I was thinking, okay, maybe I don't have to deal with this. But then I thought to myself, yeah, you do. You do have to deal with this. Because there are people dealing with far, far horrifyingly worse. Colorado. A state that enacted gun laws, not to make killing less likely, but guaranteed to make it more likely. It's just sickening. A million thoughts have gone through my thoughts. A million thoughts have gone through my mind today. And none of them bring any satisfaction. None of them bring any resolution. None of them bring any help. Because the one thing that acts of manifest evil like this all have in common is that they, by design, render us powerless. I think I'll give Dr. John the first word on this. Maybe it'll help you, and maybe it'll help me get some degree of focus in trying to converse about this, because this is, I'm not going to sit here and read Reuters accounts and Agence France-Presse accounts, and I can't do that. You already know all the gory, sickening, heartbreaking details. Another guy with guns. Breaking hearts. And turning dreams and hopes into ashes. And there are other stories I wanted to get to tonight, but we will talk about this first. But most of you who are familiar with this program know what I'm going to say, because I say the same thing every damnable time. And again, no comfort comes from it. no hope is carried along with it. Just an acknowledgement of the blood-sodden realities with which we in this country are compelled to live. Dr. John sent me this earlier today, and like I said, I thought it fitting to pretty nearly give him the first word on the subject. Regarding the Colorado shooting, we got the usual bland statements from Obama and Romney, at least initially. It fell to Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York, to bring some sense to the table. He called for tougher gun control laws. He told WOR Radio, "You know, soothing words are nice, but maybe it's time that the two people who want to be president of the United States stand up and tell us what they are going to do about it, because this is obviously a problem across the country. I mean, there are so many murders with guns every day, it's just got to stop." Bloomberg added, "No matter where you stand on the Second Amendment, no matter where you stand on guns, we have a right to hear from both of them concretely, not just in generalities, specifically, what are they going to do about guns?" He said gun violence is killing people every day, and it's a growing, and it's growing, and it's not just in an inner city, East Coast, West Coast, big city phenomenon. Aurora, Colorado is not a big city. Dr. John says, "I basically agree with him completely. I'm always suspicious of quick fix solutions. To me, the most profound point to come out of Bowling for Columbine was that Canada has way more guns per capita than the U.S., yet a fraction of the gun violence. Banning guns won't fix it, just as arming up everyone won't. There are social problems that cause this, ideologies of constant threat and rugged individualism, along with poverty, and I'd argue the repulsive notion of a better home in heaven." Early today, it was 10:39 a.m. when I received this. John closed his note by saying, "I hate that tonight's going to be another one of those shows where we have to talk about a mass shooting." And John closes saying, "But you always handle these with such intelligence and sensitivity." Thank you, John, but I don't think I do. I don't think I do at all. Because I don't see any fixes. I see this as a country that cannot get well. I mean, Jesus Christ. Let's ask a couple of ancillary questions here. And if you think me an asshole, just go ahead and send me the email saying, "Bob, you're being an asshole." And I'll probably agree with you, because I don't know of too many ways to talk about this without coming across as an asshole. They say that there were 71 total victims of the shooting now. The number was revised upwards. 12 are dead. Several remain in critical condition. They ranged, if I read the reports correctly, from 3 months old on up. Our buddy Fritz directed my attention to a tweet sensitively put out by the fine folks at a TV station in Memphis. I want to make sure I get this right. He sent me a screenshot because he said, I may end up losing my Twitter account because I dared to question WREG-TV Memphis's Twitter master about a tweet made on the station's Twitter account. I also made a statement about it and then retweeted that tweet. Just in case it got disappeared, Fritz did take a screenshot. But this... is what Three on Your Side, that's their Twitter handle, for WREG-TV Memphis, this is what they tweeted. I don't know exactly for sure what time, but it was... Three on Your Side tweeted, 3-month-old baby, one of the victims at Batman shooting, also 6-year-old. Why are they at a midnight showing of PG-13 movie? Fritz responded, I guess at Three on Your Side, y'all would blame a rape victim also. And appended some truly beautiful hashtags. Beyond disgusting. Fail. WREG. For-profit media. And it is beyond disgusting. Can you see the for-profit media mavens from WREG answering the call at the theater in Aurora, shaking their fingers at the 3-year-old baby or perhaps the weeping mother? What was the baby doing here? So it is possible to talk about this and be an asshole. I hope I'm not going to be. 71 people were hospitalized to one degree or another in this country that can't and won't do a damned thing about any of this. Here's a hint. Metal detectors? No. Inspecting women's purses to make sure they're not bringing in a dime bag of doobie ain't gonna stop this guy. Seventy-one people were hospitalized. How many of those people, and one may hope, that the ones who were not killed survive? All we have is hope. That's all these things leave us, is hope, and hope clings to the last fraying thread of an already worn-out shoestring. All we can do is hope they survive. That the critically injured survive in such a way that they will resume some sort of a life that's every bit as ordinary as the life that they took into that movie theater last night. But those who survive... Of those who survive, how many of them will go home when hopefully they do? How many of them will go home to await the first billing cycle from the healthcare facility? Because this country can't abide the notion that everyone who needs health care should be given health care and then not tormented half to death with the cost of it, or face bankruptcy or eviction. I'll get to the email in a minute. that came to mind because as I was sitting here, in a sort of brutal irony, I picked up a robocall from the administrator that handles the health insurance that our children and my wife have. In a calmingly semi-foreign voice, the recording reminded me that they want us to be healthy. And then reminded me that everybody needs a checkup with their doctor once a year. And having done that, began then to admonish me that if you're sick, you go to the doctor. But if your doctor's not in, you need to call the toll-free number we'll give you in a moment where you can always talk to a nurse on the phone. And that the emergency room is only for emergencies. And that if you really, really, really need the emergency room, well, call 911. I kid you not. And that immediately made me think and wonder if anybody coming home, hopefully, from that horror last night, at some point in time, will pick up the phone and get a robocall just like I got. Because I don't ask for whom the bell tolls, and I know it's always tolling for we. I know, and you know, that we are not islands unto ourselves, that we are a part of the main. That the sickness and the grief and the misery we feel at great distance from this thing is pressed down, doubled over, shaken together, and given back a millionfold for the people who actually lived through it. And then there's something I tweeted earlier today, and I don't know if this is getting any traction with you or not. I don't hear back that much on things like this. But, you know, there it was, the ABC News. ABC. Tragedy. In Colorado. The movie theater massacre. That was their graphic. That was what they splattered all over the TV screen. And I guess I get a little bit wrought up over this. But from the moment that it dawned on me unto the present, which means it's been with me for a while, because I've been talking about this for a while, the word tragedy used when innocents are put to the slaughter drives me something near distraction. Because tragedies have as one of their essential elements that the person upon whom the tragedy is visited must have had some tragic flaw that brought about the manifest horror, agony, and misery of the tragedy itself. So when the for-profit media refer to this, and when anyone refers to this as a tragedy, what they're saying is that the people who were injured had it coming. And if that makes your stomach turn, well, please know that you're just feeling the same thing I've been feeling all day long. But that's what it means when we say tragedy. The tragedy of Julius Caesar. The tragedy of Hamlet. That there was a flaw there that made everything happen, even and that there was nothing that the victim could do about it. And I wish to hell the for-profit media would stop using that goddamned word. Because A, it doesn't apply, and B, it only broadcasts their own arrogant ignorance. And ignorance is one thing, but to be arrogant about it is doubling down. So there's that. Betsy says, please continue to be an ass. We need your voice. Lucas went to a midnight showing of the same movie last night. He came home, but I know so many others did not. I am angry and depressed over this tragedy and the fact that we keep repeating this insanity.
But that's the thing, Betsy. It's not insanity. At least not as it's as insanity would be defined in this culture. Don't you remember? 2 days ago, we had a soundbite from Willard Romney saying that he wasn't going to let that Obama have the UN dictate our Second Amendment rights because we fought for independence and freedom.
Onward to Dystopia just said, you know, the saddest part of all of this is whenever you have one of these massacres, people act surprised. Every single time they act surprised, like this event hasn't happened before. I want to escape this armed madhouse, Bob. Yeah, we're all named Snake, and we're all trying to escape from, you know, whatever that horrible movie was.
Yeah, just stop with the surprise. But none of you are.
Onward to Dystopia is not surprised. Neither are any of you who are listening to my voice right now. You're not surprised because this is by design.
This is a deal that the NRA makes for us.
Here it comes.
This is the blood sacrifice that we have to pay. This is the butcher's bill that gets handed to us periodically because a bunch of paranoid, pasty, doughy, mostly white people somehow feel that possessing firearms
makes them more free, and they're going to be ready when the government comes to take their freedoms. Or the UN.
Willard Romney's hands are soaked in blood, if for no other reason than those UN comments that he made the other day.
I can't imagine that you don't need a hazmat suit or some sort of medical containment suit just to walk in and wade through the rivers of blood at the National Rifle Association. You know about the tweet, right? You know about the NRA tweet, right? The NRA magazine American Rifleman has a Twitter account. At NRA _Rifleman.
This shooting in Aurora, Colorado had already taken place.
And somebody at American Rifleman with access to that account tweeted, "Good morning, shooters! Happy Friday! Weekend plans?" The NRA, having been caught once again, deleted the tweet, and then wiped out the entire NRA _Rifleman account.
Curiously, the entire NRA website went down for maintenance earlier this afternoon. Nobody from the NRA's publications division has been available for comment. However, when the website came back up, the links to its Twitter and Facebook pages were, interestingly, gone. Here is the NRA response.
A single individual, unaware of events in Colorado, tweeted a comment that is being completely taken... Come on. It's being taken, everybody, 1, 2, 3. This is Romper Room. I can see you out there. You know, there's Betsy, and there's Onward to Dystopia, and there's David in South Carolina, and there's Dr. John, and there's Tim. And, come on, everybody, out of context.
That came from NRA spokesman Andrew Arulanandam. Said it to CNN and followed. Our thoughts and prayers are with the victims, their families, and the community. NRA will not have any further comment until all the facts are known.
Here are the facts, you bloodthirsty bastards. Here are the facts. You beat on legislatures until they, and you threaten them with your political action. And you send your leadership around saying things like, you can have my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. And you assert that carrying guns would somehow make these horrors stop happening. You do all that. Those are the facts. And the blood is on your hands and the hands of every gun owner in this country. Myself included.
But Dr. John's right. They got a lot more guns in Canada, but this doesn't seem to happen so much. This is an American phenomenon. This sick obsession with firearms. And Dr. John is also correct insofar as it's all tied up with penises and senses of inadequacy and paranoia and a better home in heaven and raising ourselves up from our bootstraps and rugged individualism. And most importantly, that weird semi-treasonous notion that one of these days it's going to be necessary to just go to the door and blow away the man. Didn't we just have a story a couple of nights ago about a young man who wasn't even doing anything wrong, who some bad guy had parked his motorcycle across from his door, and the cops came through his door, or came to his door, the guy had a firearm, and the cops therefore blew him away? See, I don't think I'm handling this with very much sensitivity. Because it's going to happen again. And after it happens again, it will happen again after that. And after it happens again after that, it'll happen again after that. And it's going to happen again and again and again and again. And it's going to be 3-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 9-year-olds and 17-year-olds and veterans who made it safely home from a godforsaken war. It's going to happen. And you're going to get those mealy-mouthed pissant responses from the NRA like, our thoughts and prayers are with the victims, their families, and the community. Bullshit! Your thoughts are how you can consolidate your power. You filthy, filthy, murderous animals! That community needs not thoughts,
not prayers. That community needs not to be afflicted by a sick culture that values guns over three-year-olds. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Betsy tells me, oh, Jesus, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Less than 24 hours after a shooting at a Colorado movie theater claiming the lives of 12 people and injuring dozens more, a conservative political action committee sent supporters an email using coverage of the event to push for donations. The campaign to defeat Barack Obama released a fundraising letter late Friday afternoon requesting donations over an early report on ABC News that suggested a member of a Colorado Tea Party group may have been the shooter. The on-air report delivered by ABC News chief investigative correspondent Brian Ross was inaccurate, and it was retracted, and Ross issued an apology. The fundraising letter, on behalf of Texas Senate candidate Ted Cruz, asked for money to fight back against the media. We can't let the media get away with their attempts to smear the Tea Party, the unsigned letter read, including a link to a story about Ross's report from, of course, Breitbart.com. Even though he is rotting in the grave, his dead hand still reaches above the surface of the soil to continue to afflict and infect our body politic. They are trying to silence us and brand us as extremists whose ideals are too radical and dangerous for America. But since they cannot refute our ideas of limited government and liberty, they have to resort to smears, lies, and fabrications. Please help us fight back by supporting the most prominent Tea Party candidate in America right now, conservative Republican Ted Cruz. And me without my bucket. And then, as Brad Friedman over at Bradblog, belated happy birthday, Brad, pointed out, over at DenverPost.com, a banner ad ran over the top of the headline story, 14 killed, 50 wounded at Aurora Movie Theater. You know the shooter was armed with a rifle, an AR-15. It's an assault rifle. They call it that for a reason. Interesting, they don't call it a self-defense rifle. You know, in many ways, firearms are piss-poor self-defense weapons. Especially if things get close. You're as likely to get it used on you as you are to use it on someone else. But anyway, so that was the headline. And the banner ad that ran over top it said, Shotgun Demo! Saturday, July 21st, 8 p.m. to 4 p.m. Roll over to expand. Sponsored by Guns, Inc. Yeah, Guns, Inc. That ink should be red. Then there's an outfit called Celebrity Boutique that Dr. John just told me about. Celeb Boutique is their handle on Twitter. And they tweeted earlier, hashtag Aurora is trending, clearly about our Kim K, that would be Kim Kardashian-inspired, Aurora dress. Winky smiley face. Dr. John explains they're falling all over themselves to apologize. Part of the explanation and the apology is our PR people are not U.S.-based and didn't know about the incident. Really? They're not U.S.-based? No, they did. So true, Michael, so true. Known to you as Kid A in the chat room, Michael. The Second Amendment, as popularly and wrongly interpreted, certainly is one of America's most grievous pre-existing conditions. Sigh. This from Kevin, who lives in Colorado Springs. Bob, as you know, I live here in Colorado Springs, some 60 miles away from the suburb of Aurora. If we as a country want to be honest with ourselves, we have to acknowledge that the right to keep and bear arms, just like any other right listed in the Bill of Rights, extends only so far. What was this guy doing with a Glock 40 and an AR-15 and a shotgun and another Glock, if I understand correctly? What possible need, no, let me change that to what possible lawful need did this guy or any person for that matter, what lawful need would anyone have to carry these weapons? I can't think of one, unless that person is in law enforcement or the military. Even then, I can think of any reason that someone from law enforcement or the military would have to keep such weapons at home in their own personal gun collection. And then there's that phrase, I'll add, Kevin, gun collection. Well, you see, over here is the family silver. It's been in the family for five generations. Isn't it lovely? Yes. And the Wedgwood China is right over here. And let me show you the gun collection. Kevin continues, I'm fairly sure that the NRA and those that are sympathetic with them are already hard at work trying to spin the conversation away from reasonable gun laws, and instead of wanting us to focus on that, they're saying that guns don't kill people, people kill people. Mm-hmm. When ball bats are outlawed, only outlaws will have ball bats. Try telling that to any of the families of the dead or to any of the 59 wounded, as I'm sure that some of them are going to have to deal with disabilities such as being a quadriplegic or a paraplegic for the rest of their lives. We need to ask how and why was this man accused in this crime? How could he get his hands on such weapons and how those semi-automatic weapons could kill and injure over 70 people in just a minute or two? Well, see, not to allow massive ammunition clips for firearms. See, not allowing that leads to socialism and communism and three-year-olds turning into four-year-olds. To those who always bring up their Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, ask them how many more lives need to be taken or seriously altered before they would agree to an assault weapons ban. All of them. Because otherwise we won't be able to defend our freedoms when the government comes to take our freedoms from us. Unless they already have and we just sat idly by for 8 years while the Patriot Act was passed and domestic spying was going on and the most central right of Anglo-American jurisprudence, habeas corpus, went by the damn boards. Well, then we won't come out on our porch. But by golly, if that one sends I ain't going to no Obama re-education camp dictated by the UN Rights of the Child. Because we fought a war for freedom and independence. In fact, says Kevin, ask our supposed lawmakers just how many more lives there need to be taken to finally approve an assault weapons ban. Well, I went through that. Does or will it take one of their family members to be listed in the latest story of senseless gun violence before they will agree to an assault weapons ban? Wouldn't matter, Kevin. In fact, that is the question I would ask everyone today. How many more lives? How many more? But see, Kevin, within the confines, the we happy few of the Horn family, the answer will come, no more lives. No more lives. But the gun goons know that they're safe. They know that they're protected by the NRA and the NRA's pet legislators. They know that far from curtailing the rights to contain these engines of death, or to possess these engines of death, far from curtailing that, by God, the NRA is working hammer and tongs night and day, 24/7, 365, to expand the rights. So that more people can get more guns and more shootings can take place. Because you see, it is just a simple, sad fact of human anatomy that not all people who have no business having a handgun or any firearm for that matter or so much as a knitting needle don't necessarily walk around talking to themselves and screaming at mailboxes or clouds. This came in from Isaac, by the way. Headline. Colorado shooting suspect was honor student, scholarship winner. Yeah. Seemed to be a normal kid. I don't know what triggered it. This makes me very sad, Tom May, retired electrical engineer, said. His 16-year-old son, Anthony, said, I saw him as a normal guy, an everyday guy, doing everyday things. He was an honor student, so academically, he was at the top of the top. He went into neuroscience study. He's very active, by the way, in his local church. Mm-hmm. Shotgun demo. Then the paranoia came out. This also from Isaac, coming from some sick weirdo of the right wing. Occupy Black Bloc member James E. Holmes shoots up Aurora, Colorado movie theater, killing 12 and wounding 50. Only one problem. No proof that he was a member of the Black Bloc. Presbyterian, Benedict, Presbyterian. But the thing that bothers me most is that the gun goons, if you explain to them that this is going to continue to happen because of them, because of their noisy, vociferous, cranky, whiny, fussy insistence that they're somehow defending freedom with their blue steel penis extensions, that their weird fascination with these engines of death, it contributes to this continuing to happen. If you explain that to them, well, that ain't fair. Lottie's right. This is a sick society. Any society that cannot, for instance, make sure that every child has access to health care, but will make sure that every child can grow up to be an adult who can have access to a firearm. Any society that makes choices like that cannot be classified as anything but overtly sick. The question is it terminal? And sadly, the answer is not uniformly, no. It's just terminal randomly, kind of like cancer. Only we're finding out that cancer's not so damn random anymore either. But sickest of the day, by all means, sickest of the day, and I'm going to make you listen to it because I had to too. Sickest of the day goes to a man who is characteristically sick, and we have come to expect to say sick things. If he did not have a lot of money and a lot of power, he would be chased down with a butterfly net and taken and locked up in a room somewhere where he could write on the walls with a purple crayon between his toes. I'm talking about Louis Gohmert.
This Colorado shooting. But what was your experience as a judge when you're on the bench? This is Congressman Louis Gohmert. When you were on the bench, what was your experience with people who had mental health issues?
Oh, Jesus, you're kidding. This guy was a judge somewhere? This guy had the power over life and death? All right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Let's go back.
That were involved in crimes of violence.
Well, it's always a problem, and there are some people that require medication, and when they're on their medication, they are not a problem whatsoever, but you can't...
Now, wait. It's important that you understand, and I understand, what's going on here. This right-wing teabagging freak is setting up the insanity plea for the guy who committed these murders. He's already just assumed that he needed medication. when in fact we know that he was an honor student, that he was a paragon of his community back in San Diego, that he went to school on scholarship, that he was allowed into a neuroscience program at the Medical University of Colorado. Okay. Because this is the firewall behind which the right wing and the gun goons run and hide every time. Oh, he was just crazy. Our society's not sick. Our society's not half deranged over firearms. Our society doesn't have any of those problems that Dr. John identified. Guess what? One of the problems that Dr. John identified is going to come zooming to the forefront here in a few seconds.
Require them, you know, to keep taking their medication, and because you can't follow them around, and you can commit them to mental health facilities, but then they put them on their medication and they do fine, and then they release them, and
not a shred of evidence to say any of this applies.
A wonderful guy,
yeah,
and a good guy, but when he got off his medication, you know, like they came in, our friend is out at major intersection, 8 lanes both ways, and he's running naked between the cars. Well, when he's on his medication, he was a great functioning member of society.
Right.
But, you know, I might mention something else that hadn't been public yet.
Well, before you do that, Gomer, let's talk about his friend who ran naked between 8 lanes of traffic, 8 lanes both sides. Why do you reckon that is? You see, this is one of those Gordian knot kind of situations. Where it seems almost impossible to patiently unravel the damn thing. Because you can't find a place to start unknotting it. Alexander unknotted the Gordian knot by finally just walking up to it with a very sharp sword and hacked it to pieces. Rather a barbaric way of going about it, but metaphorically it also speaks to the fact that sometimes when you've got a seemingly insurmountable problem, you just have to go after it unconventionally. But that their dear friend who was a great guy, as long as he's on his medication, but then he got off his medication and he run naked down the middle of the road. What happens to someone, if you know, what happens to someone when you try to get them mental health help in this country, especially in a place like Texas that has more uninsured people than any other state in the union? What happens? Well, they might get taken in. I can only speak to what the process is here in West Virginia because that's where I've observed it. If the person really badly needs help, they will begin calling around to all the mental health facilities in the state. Trying to find an open bed because they are few and far between. The person may get treatment or may not, but as soon as they get into a bed, they start working to get them out of a bed because the costs are so high. And the person is probably not insured. If they had insurance, they would be voluntarily put into a program for which insurance might pay for a maximum of 6 weeks. And that's how Gomer's buddy winds up naked in the middle of 8 lanes of traffic. Because as I think our good friend Rick Goodner, Horn psychotherapist, might note, this is a country that still does not take mental illness seriously. But I agree with Dr. John. He says, enough with the mental illness, at least until a diagnosis. This is not an individual problem, but a social one. If I was to call, it would just be screaming. I understand, John. I do. But let's go back to Gomer, because he isn't done with you. And Dr. John, if you thought it would have been screaming before, it's going to surpass. No, it'll just be little weird little animal noises by the time Gomer's done.
Most of us that follow the military, love the military, know we have had an extraordinary increase in suicide rates in the military, and it's just heartbreaking. And I've sat with family, you know.
Oh, you evil bastard! No, it's not heartbreaking. You're the one who talks about America being broke. You're the one who sat blithely by while the Bush administration defunded veterans program after veterans program while hospitals were closed down. You evil prick! But he's still not done with you. Because, you see, these teabag monsters feast on human blood. They thrive on human suffering. They revel in human agony. And he can feel your screams, and he gets stronger when you do.
Around their kitchen table, and they're going, We never saw this coming. We just, you know, we didn't know. There was a study commissioned.
Yeah. And Lou, we're gonna have.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna say this very quickly. They did 6,000 personality index profiles, and what they found, and I don't know if they'll make it public in one of the participants.
So, in other words, there's no way. We just have to trust Gomer for this. There's no way that we can verify what he's about to make up. There's no way for us to be able to see the data and call bullshit on him. Bad broadcaster. Bad. Even though we're on the internet, we ought to try to adhere to rules of civility and decency. Bad broadcaster. But anyway, no. So he's about to offer us a heaping load of crap that we have no way of challenging. Isn't that fun?
Told me, you know, the results may not go public, but all of the people who had committed suicide within their thousands of people studied were part of the 2% most atheistic members of the military.
Thank you for joining us.
We've lost our faith.
You bet.
We've lost our faith. That's right. 72 people got shot in Aurora, Colorado last night. 12 of them died. Because we've lost our faith. You just wish there was really a lightning bolt wielding bearded old juvenile delinquent sky god up there going, "Find him!" Oh, there he is. Zip! But perhaps the crowning indignity, and I'm not going to play it for you, because I can't do it. I will go screaming out into the yard. I won't play it. I'm just going to read the quote. Not content to try to further his paranoid notion his weird persecution complex that somehow these are attacks on Christianity. Louis Gohmert doubled down, too. It's hard to read this. It does make me wonder, with all those people in the theater, was there nobody that was carrying a gun that could have stopped this guy more quickly? Begone ye unto the lake of fire that is reserved for the devil and his angels, Louis. Begone. You know the facts and circumstances of this horror. You know that he came in through apparently a propped open fire door. That he then threw a smoke grenade that made visibility near zero. And began shooting people who at first thought it was a gag to go with the special midnight screening of Batman The Dark Knight Arises or whatever it is. So in the smoke and in the chaos, with gunfire going all around them, Louis Gohmert can't help but wonder. He can't help but wonder, with all those people in the theater, was there nobody that's carrying a gun that could have stopped this guy? That's how sick these people are. That is how evil these people are. Louis Gohmert thinks that the solution to chaos is to add more chaos. Louis Gohmert thinks that the solution to gunfire is to add more gunfire. And here, understand, they're going to get their way. Somewhere out there, probably by a factor of a million, are people who are American citizens who henceforward, upon going to the movie theater, are going to make sure that they're locked and loaded and have one in the chamber. There are states like Tennessee and Ohio where they're already allowed to carry loaded firearms into bars and sit there and get drunker than Adam's off ox until their take offense gene kicks in and then bang! Yeah, Betsy, I know. We have a country that is more obsessed with warehousing poor people who have run afoul of pissant little laws. Reference the story from Alabama a couple of nights ago. That is more concerned with equating being able to go to the doctor with socialism. More concerned with the birth certificate of a president who happens to have been born with the accident, because none of us are responsible for the nature or circumstances of our own birth, who happens to have been born with skin darker than a paper bag. They are more concerned with all of these things than with whether three-year-olds get to be four. Or whether three-year-olds who toddled into a movie theater get to toddle back out. Or whether nine-year-olds get to be ten-year-olds. Or whether nine-year-olds walk or use their hands. That's their concern. Their concern, their fascination, their weird, sick obsession is with their guns. And they want to take them around with them as if they were some sort of security blanket. They're whoobies. The only problem is these dangerous freaks have whoobies that carry 17 rounds of ammunition.
Marty, was Gohmert the one who also said the massacre was a clear attack on American Judeo-Christian values? Probably. Sounds like him. He continues, in other words, Bob, according to Louis, the whole thing might have been stopped had a gangbanger been in the audience. Well, and that brings up another notion. One of the earliest releases from the White House is, the White House is confident in saying this is not an act of terrorism.
Oh, and I thought I was going to throw things when I read that. Of course this is an act of terrorism! But God Almighty, can you imagine what the for-profit media would be doing right now if this guy's name had been Abdul or Rahman? Aziz. Samir. Can you imagine? We'd be in full damned lockdown. And every right winger from Dan to Bathsheba would be screaming that it was a fine reason to go and bomb the snot out of some flower seller's daughter on a street corner in Tehran. You know all these things. Your emails, more of them. Let's see. Yeah, let's do remember this. This is what the Second Amendment says. From Michael. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, a well-regulated militia. Huh? Sounds like gun control to me. Notice how it says nothing about wannabe cowboys and conceal and carry lone gunmen being necessary for a free state? No, it doesn't say that, Michael, because those guys are actually the antithesis, the nemesis of a free state. Definitions of freedom don't turn inherently on questions of whether or not one is a socialist or a Muslim. Jesus, that poor mosque in Tennessee had to go all the way to the federal court to get a federal judge to strike down a Tennessee court judge's order telling them that they could not open their new building and worship in it. They can congratulate themselves all they want, but the gun bearers in this country are not preserving any freedoms. except the freedom of people to go through propped open movie house doors, throw a smoke grenade, and shoot up the room. Are we clear on that? Please, are we clear on that? Somebody by the name of Jack Pierce. Posted. Isaac says, these are the types of idiots I've been dealing with today. My local AMC theater bans guns, according to the sign on one of the doors. In light of the mass murders in Colorado early this morning, how do you plan to protect your patrons? It's a common fact that laws and signs mean nothing to criminals. So if you ban law-abiding citizens from protecting themselves, are you willing to face the lawsuits that come with not protecting your patrons? Your popcorn isn't that good, your seats aren't that comfortable, and your sound systems aren't much better than what I have at home. So why shouldn't I just wait until the movie's available to rent and stay in the safety of my own home? And my most pressing question is, why not remove the sign from your door? All it does is tell criminals it's safe to come in. You see, this is a pathology that puts possession of firearms ahead of human life. You know, he's right. The seats aren't that comfortable. Just imagine walking in with your Glock strapped on and a round goes into that concrete floor, you know, through the cheap-ass carpet into the concrete floor, and then the concrete shatters and creates shrapnel, and then the bullet starts bouncing around the room, just one. But these gun goons don't have the perspicacity to get that far into the analysis. They just want to see the smoke grenade go off and start shooting and hope they hit the bad guy, and if they hit the 3-year-old, well, tough titty. And I know there are people that disagree with me about this gun issue within the Horn family. And I'm sorry. But I can't walk away from this. I can't walk away from the sickening knowledge that this really is a butcher's bill that we're going to get handed again and again and again and again and again. And every time we're going to have this. I swear, I think the next time one of these things happens, I'm going to call the show for the night and walk away. Because you'd really like to propose some solutions. But as Dr. John notes, there are so many manifest, pervasive sicknesses that contribute to the whys and wherefores of this happening that it may be solution-free. Marty, what are we? A country that needs some kind of help, or a country that just doesn't want it? Frankly, I think we're a country that just doesn't want the help. The U.S., courtesy of Radio Rwanda, is actually turning into Rwanda. Well, just remember, there are only two nations that have not signed on to the U.N. Declaration of the Rights of the Child, us and Somalia. That's gotta mean something! Bill, in Cleveland, local Akron Talk Radio. Some right-wing asshole called in to say this Colorado shooting will be used by Obama to take his gun. Oh, F. David in South Carolina. Just a few thoughts to vent. Notice that whenever gun laws are brought up for discussion, the gun folks always say that this would just take guns away from law-abiding citizens because criminals will always be able to get firearms and use them. Well, it just occurred to me that very few, if any, of these massacre-type shootings has been perpetrated by a criminal who got a gun illegally. All of the shooters seem to have completely clean criminal records or records with just a few minor infractions, so I conclude that it is not guns in the hands of criminals that are causing these types of slaughters. It is something else. Entirely. David notes,
I wrote this earlier. Before I'd heard anything about the suspect, amazing how accurate I was. It's like all the networks were falling all over themselves to get the lone wolf story out to the public. Yes, sheeple, it's just a lone wolf. Isolated incident, a nut, a mental case, not influenced or connected to anyone else, because this is always the official cover story. I haven't even heard any actual news coverage, but I'll bet that the shooter will be described as a lone wolf, insane, nut, because we all know that the words, videos, audio cannot influence human behavior, make folks take any type of action. This is why there are never any TV commercials on TV. This is why politicians never spend a penny on marketing or advertising. These things just could not possibly change a person's behavior. Of course not. Yet the same TV networks that say this rake in billions from advertisers. Hey, it's the USA. Of course it's hypocritical and absurd. Guns do kill people over and over and over and over. As long as the USA loves guns more than people, this will continue. It is ludicrous to say that nothing can be done. It's more like nothing will get done because of greed and all the money the gun lobby uses to purchase legislators and legislation. And amen, and amen, and amen. He continues, I lost a good friend to gun violence on New Year's Day. He points out, in a study by Kellerman, 1998, page 263, a gun in the home is 22 times more likely to be used in a completed or attempted suicide, criminal assault or homicide, or unintentional shooting death or injury than to be used in self-defense shooting. Keeping a firearm in the home increases the risk of suicide by a factor of 3 to 5 and increases the risk of suicide with a firearm by a factor of 17. Keeping a firearm in the home increases the risk of homicide by a factor of 3. Every year, there are only about 200 legally justified self-defense homicides by private citizens, FBI expanded homicide data, table 15, compared with over 30,000 gun deaths. A 2009 study found that people in possession of a gun are 4.5 times more likely to be shot in an assault.
Now, wait a minute, bad guy, let me get my gun out.
And yes, as David points out, and it grieves me to hear it. I remember him mentioning it at the beginning. He said, this year started off with the murder of a friend. News Ninja Susan says, I took one for the team. I checked out Freeperville. Check out this post. Oh, God. 2. White Dog 57. 12 dead is a tragedy. No, it's not. We know the meaning of the word, you goddamn brainless right-winger. But it is a tip. But it's a tragedy, but it's a typical weekend in Chicago. You know, because all these right-wingers are suddenly fascinated with
Chicago politics!
Post of the day, sadly not being voiced on the MSM. Susan, let me know when you get back from getting your shower, because that sure needs one. She adds, may the goddess award Louis Gohmert the fate he so richly deserves, and let him spend 50 lifetimes trying to make up for the damage he has done. I think 50's calling it a little short. Isaac noting, sure, gun laws don't stop gun crimes, but then laws against murder don't stop murder either. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have laws, though. Tonight's German language lesson comes to us from Andy. Representative Louis Gohmert is a Scheisskopf. That's German for shithead. I know that much, even though I've got to send back my Plimsleur method German one bop. Representative Louis Gohmert is a Scheisskopf. Rational thought, forget it with these teabagging freaks. There is no reason for anyone to have automatic weapons, especially an AR-15 assault rifle or Glock semi-automatic. None in this society of fruitcakes nuts. I disagree with that plutocratic freak Mayor Michael Bloomberg on most issues, but on gun control, he's the only politician willing to put his swinging big top 1% balls on the firing line. You know, you gotta give it to them when they get it right. I heard something from Reverbo earlier today, paraphrasing a tweet that he had heard, I think, on Stephanie Miller. Kind of encapsulated it. He said, they just read a tweet on Stephanie Miller's show that I thought was really true. I'm paraphrasing. You never wake up to stories about how somebody with a lot of guns did anything good. Amen. And that exchange reminded me, because that whole argument about you don't punish law-abiding gun owners for the acts of a few criminals. Well, 30,000 is not a few criminals, A. And B, in the middle of a malaria outbreak, you don't talk about the law-abiding mosquitoes. True? Is it? I hope we are not having phone problems tonight. Let me know if you have any problem getting through. The lines are open. The number is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. This is headonradionetwork.com. We call what we do here conversation radio, even on nights as painful as this. And the conversation revolves around. So if you can't get through, let me know. I've been on the phone dealing with these issues all day long. I'm not going to play any ironically appropriate bumper music. Jesus, you know, this is Friday on the front porch, or was supposed to be. I'd like for us to at least have a little bit of fun on a Friday. Selfish of me, I know. And if you can bear with me, I'd like to get to some other stories this evening, although I don't know if that seems appropriate or not. I got a story of a 1% jackass that will curl your hair. Yeah, I think we're having phone problems, but let's see if we got somebody here. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello?
Yeah, I think we're having phone problems.
Hello, I hear me in your background.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, hello.
This is David from Maine.
Hey, David, what's happening?
Hello.
Could you turn your...
Okay, 1 second.
Because right. I'm easily confused, David.
I hear you. I know you don't want the reverb echo going.
What's happening?
You know, just listening to this story and thinking it should be that guns only in the home, not on the streets, not in any local environments, but it just seems like so many people have creeped on us year after year in slight increments where people would just shrug their shoulders. And now we have it, and now we have to deal with it, and now we have to attempt to regulate it.
Yeah, I can almost see this guy. I don't even remember his name. I hope his name just... Ugh. God, his poor parents. I can almost see him at the gun store. Son, do you plan to carry this gun in public? Well, yes, sir. Then you'll need a strap! They're over here.
I am kind of surprised that when he went in the movie theater, there was no metal detector that went off or anything. I guess they didn't pass.
Well, no, he didn't. No, he went through an exit door.
Oh, okay.
And there aren't necessarily... I mean, I don't know how it is in Maine, but there aren't any metal detectors in my movie theater.
Hmm. Well, I guess they...
But, I mean, there are things that attend this story that are bothersome that I don't understand. One of the things that that came out early on and really caught fire and went around the interweb tubes quickly was that upon being contacted by authorities, the mother of the killer said, "You've got the right one." Now, what does that mean?
That is surprising, and it's crazy to think that this guy completely set up his own apartment for booby traps as well. It was like he was planning a whole gigantic explosion after explosion, disaster after disaster. And it's good to see that the authorities were on the ball on this one and evacuated everyone out of the building. So good job on that one.
Yeah.
I tell you something that was really surreal that I read in one of the details was that one of the victims was actually involved in the she actually escaped the Toronto Mall shooting. Did you hear about
that?
Yeah,
I saw that, and I mean it was just it was too much.
I mean that goes to show like the probabilities the probability that people keep saying that you're going to be involved in a shooting are going up, I would think, drastically.
Wow. It's like in the chat room here, Benedict just said, when I asked about the mom, Benedict said, what it means is that mom knew her son was a danger but had nowhere to go with that information.
Hmm. Well, you know, Tom Harmon was on the radio today, and he was talking about someone called in and said that one of the things they don't want to talk about is the medication that he was on in the media.
What was he on? Help me here.
I'm not certain, but you if
some sort of serotonin reuptake inhibitor, an antipsychotic,
something like that, something really volatile.
Okay, so that explains Louis Gohmert's responses about running naked in the road.
Right.
I'm sorry,
right.
He said naked.
Right, and I think this whole thing it all needs to be unpacked. There's so many different. The whole gun issue that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, but can I differ with you for a moment, please, David?
Yeah.
There's nothing to unpack. There's nothing to unpack. Because this country A doesn't think there's a suitcase. All right?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but for the people who are listening, that's the people that you unpack this for, other than just saying it's a senseless. What so many people are saying, it's a senseless tragedy. No, it's not. It's not a senseless tragedy. It's a tragedy. It's a horror show.
Yeah, you caught it, didn't you?
Yeah, it's a horror show with so many different aspects that need to be dealt with, so we can prevent one from happening again, or we can lessen the impact from the next one.
Well, you know, Dr. John mentioned the fact that Canada has more guns than we have.
Hmm.
And yet, this doesn't happen with nearly the frequency there. Although, frankly, if I were Canadian, I would be scared spitless simply because, you know, when America sneezes, Canada gets the flu. You know, we had right-wing politics, and then lo and behold, it gyred and gimbled and lurched up into Canada, and look what they've got now. As Dr. John reminded us, they've cut themselves down to one archaeologist in their entire vast country's worth of archaeological treasure parks. You know, no, they're getting the sickness. And frankly, they'll probably have, this will start probably happening more often up there. I hate to even think about it, but the possibility, if not the likelihood, is certainly there. But the reason I bring it up is that while they do have more guns, I'm more than willing to be corrected by the Canadians in the audience. I don't think you can take it, to a bar. I don't think you can take your locked and loaded Glock to the bar, you know, in case some terrorist decides to pop up from the other corner back behind the guy who's grumbling into his Molson. And I don't think you can take it with you to Sunday school. You remember the guy who was demonstrating how the gun worked at church and accidentally shot a bullet through a wall that killed the pastor's beautiful 20-year-old daughter? You remember that story?
Right.
See, I remember a lot of these stories.
Hmm. When you look at everything in perspective in all of this, we definitely, if people aren't going to listen to the and learn by example, and it's obviously they're not going to learn by example, then you have to ask yourself, so it's not, so no tragedy, I stopped myself on that one, no horror show, no massacre is going to change that. So then you have to ask yourself, does that mean you have to do it by force eventually?
I don't know. I don't know. I think gun buybacks work.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Michael just wrote in on somebody bringing it up on Tom Hartman. He wanted to make clear, he said, Tom discussed the possible medication issue due to a caller raising the issue, but he made it clear that he hadn't heard anything yet one way or another about the shooter having been on any meds. At least that, says Michael, was my understanding.
Okay.
So, some of this remains to be seen. You know, I'm sure the cops had to create a cordon at the guy's parents' home in San Diego, not because they were taking mom and dad in, but simply so that dad could get in the car and go down and tell him what he knew. And, you know, he wasn't being dragged down there. Apparently mom and dad wanted to help. And yet, you know, there's the for-profit media, and there's already a phalanx of gawkers in front of the house. You know, it's sickening. It's like buzzards, David.
Yeah, it is like buzzards. And I see, I'm sure, I noticed that, I think it was Huffington Post and a few other places, they picked up on the fact that they believe he was inspired partially by the Frank Miller Dark Knight version of a particular scene of a comic book where a gentleman was in a movie theater and decided to just...
Well, you know this, I mean, you know that his hair dyed, you know, all the pictures of him show this little, you know, this brown-headed kid with these eyes. He had apparently dyed his hair red and said he was the Joker.
I didn't see that picture, but that's...
I mean, that's not a photo, but that's some of the stuff that I've seen, and, you know, who knows what's real. Ron and Raleigh just pointed something out I think you might find interesting. He said, from Charles Texas Tower Whitman to this morning's horrific taking of life, not once, never has one of these mass murderers been a criminal that could have been denied a firearm using any of the current background check methods. He says, Ron says, I was on my high school rifle team, and I was good at it and enjoyed it, but I've never seen the need to own a firearm since. He says, I've known a few gun nuts in my day, and the thing that I've always noticed about them, despite their self-defense rhetoric, they all seem to relish the idea of busting a cap in somebody's ass. We will never, says Ron, we will never be a truly civilized society until we get a grip on this fatal attraction, gun love, that we are in the throes of. And I think there's a lot of truth in that, because... You know, you see, if you talk to one of these gun loons, they'll say, well, I've only got it for self-defense. Okay, so yeah. What are you going to do with your gun for self-defense? Well, I'm going to shoot his ass. Yeah, I remember having my economics teacher, junior year of high school, he sort of taught a little homespun law along the way to his charges. One of whom I was. And he said, what you do is if somebody comes into your home, you shoot them. And if they get out and they crawl away, you drag them back in your home and shoot them again. Now, this is a high school teacher. And he kind of did it with a wry little smile on his face. But because, you know, man's, and it's called the Castle Doctrine.
Mm.
If somebody comes through your door, you've got a right to shoot him. But the thing is, it doesn't work so good anymore because that guy in Florida was in, granted, it was only an apartment, it wasn't a castle. It was his home. And somebody bangs on the door at 1:30 in the morning and he goes to the door with a gun. And upon seeing the gun, the local constabulary blew his life away.
Mm.
See, there are you cannot separate firearms from the as Ron notes from the fundamental question of one's willingness to take the life of another. And the bullshit scenarios are always put up there. What if you caught somebody a raping of your wife? You know, and it sounds like something out of To Kill a Mockingbird. And there he was, a rutting on my mailer. When that scenario probably doesn't happen a dozen times a year in this country. You know, we see it in movies, though, and it fires our imagination because there is some little bit of us, some little genetic piece of material, at least in Americans, that is still the bloody bone wielding monkey dancing around the monolith that still is, you know, let's see what the inside of you looks like.
Right. You know, the whole issue with guns is it's clearly it needs to be classified as a one of the worst mental illnesses we have in this country.
It absolutely is, and let's understand. I'm not trying to.
I would say it's not an insult. It's like that. It's just that people have an illness because they're connected to guns in such an emotional and personal way.
I'd say there are more people in this country who have emotional involvement with their firearms than there are who actually have what is referred to as a close personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what's really dangerous are the ones who have both. But the fact of the matter is, and again, I don't want to make this sound like I'm some sort of world-weary traveler who knows all and tells all, but
right.
the little tiny village in Germany that I spent a week in,
mm-hmm.
I bet I could have gone door to door, knocking on doors, politely asking, how many guns do you have in the house? We have no firearms. Okay, thank you. Goodbye now. Knock, knock. How many guns? We have no guns. There are no guns here. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Knock, knock. And go down street after street, block after block. And as noted, I didn't see anybody walking around hanging their head or walking as if they were dragged, having their strides limited by manacles and leg irons. Oh, they only think they're free, you know, because when the government comes for them.
Right. And there's only so much, and because of the taste of this completely twisted version of what so-called alleged patriots and libertarians think of as freedom. They want more and more.
Yeah, their definition, that's the thing. Their definition of freedom is actually anarchy, David.
Hmm.
Their definition of freedom is to be able to do whatever they want to and no one can tell them no. Their definition of freedom is a three-year-old's definition of freedom. They're babies. But they're very well-armed babies, and that makes them extremely dangerous.
And that's the problem with what we face every single day. We can automatically turn back the tide and turn back the gun laws and get the gun control in there, and then immediately the money will kick in. Everything will start fueling on the TV for people who are paranoid. They're taking your guns away. They're taking your guns away. Well, the complete media, it'll be all saturated. All the politicians will be completely paralyzed.
Oh, David, I know this script.
Yeah.
You know, because I hear it in another context here. Well, wait a minute. We got a very vibrant firearms industry here, fill in the blank. What about all them jobs? Let's go ask the three-year-old about them jobs, David, right?
Right. It all ties together, Bob, with the private prison industry, the guns, the ammo. They want to keep everything going.
The inaccessibility to health care. Sure.
Right. Closing the communities down.
Yeah, it's all part of it.
Paranoid.
Yeah.
And at the same time, giving this illusion that if you just have faith, things will be all right. And that's another mental illness, this constant dosage of faith that we need.
Yeah, I know. Because they're being persecuted.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're being
persecuted. Right. Because, you know, what Louis Gohmert was implied was that the shooter was somehow an atheist.
And you notice the DJ was hurrying him along.
Yeah.
Right after he said
gotta go, Louis. Before the crazy talk comes out, we gotta go. Yeah, I know. Hey, David, it's been great talking to you.
All right.
Thanks for carrying some of the weight. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Bye now. Yes.
Bye.
Yeah. No.
Right,
what?
Before I go, everybody, you should contribute to the Horn community. You can call at 1-877-4 head on, and you can contribute at Bob at head on.
Bob Kincaid.
Bob Kincaid at headonradio.com.
No.
No, at head on. At head on.
No, BobKincaid@gmail.com.
Oh, BobKincaid@gmail.com. Right.
Yeah.
And you might want to give them the address.
Oh, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive. PMB 318 Beckley Beckley WV 25801 and I appreciate it, David. I truly do. I was not going to do that tonight.
Well, let's keep the conversation going. You're next, whoever it is.
All right, thanks, David.
All right, later.
Bye now. Context is everything. Going right back to the phones. Context is everything. I got a note earlier today from Jim. He said 68 years ago today, Lieutenant Colonel Graf von Stauffenberg and other officers attempted to assassinate Adolf Hitler at the latter's Führerhauptquartier Wolfslehr in East Prussia. The plot failed. The men behind it were summarily executed. In the following months, over 5,000 were executed by the Gestapo. Those attempting the act have always represented heroism in its highest form, and I honor their memories and families this day. With great respect, their memories are honored this and every day. That is a definition of courage, you see. Having a closet full of guns and wait until the United States government, which is not Nazi Germany, but sitting around polishing your peacemaker, thinking that you're Marshal Matt Dillon, or the Indians are gonna come busting through your door any minute now, is not the same thing. It is not the same thing. And I'm glad that Jim was able to point out that dichotomy. Let's keep going. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon, Bob.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin?
Not much. Pretty much one of those days where you can't say it's really going good because of the
this is one of those oh hell kind of days.
Yeah.
And I even feel funny talking about it that way. It's just that if I felt like there was any solution, if I felt like there was any approachable means, no. And you know what? I mean, even in New York City, Kevin, Michael Bloomberg, for having said what he said, there are going to be New Yorkers somewhere, some portion of them, who are going to say, "Yeah, he's trying to take our freedoms."
Yep.
I don't know what that number will be because I don't know New Yorkers that well, at least not many. I mean, we've got New Yorkers in the audience, and perhaps they can speak better for it than I can. But the fact that the campaign to get rid of Barack Obama or whatever that filthy outfit's name was actually had the unmitigated gall, the sick nerve, Kevin, to send out and fundraise on the backs of murdered people?
Yep.
Jesus, hell is not hot enough to hold somebody like that.
It shows you how sick they are. And the reason I called in is listening to you and David talk, a couple thoughts I had, one of which is I'll almost bet you that when the story comes out about this guy, He tried to get help through the mental, through the healthcare system, mental health care system, and was turned away because they deemed he was not a danger to himself or others. I will almost guarantee you he was probably started having schizophrenic tendencies, but because it wasn't severe enough, he could find no help.
Well,
and that may not be the case.
Yeah, we just don't know.
Right, exactly. But the other thing, listening to you and David talk, just like you said a minute ago, there's no solution. And I keep thinking of Malloy's adage of what you've got to do is stop it. Put your body in between the gears. That's the only way to do it. You've got to stop the machine. And I don't see any other way. These people today that are coming out of the woodwork on the right, I can't believe that they would even attempt to come out on a day like today and say some of the things they're saying. But,
well, you know, I had an email a little bit ago from Peter, and he sent me a link to an older Tom Tomorrow comic. That goes back to the Tucson shooting. And Tom Tomorrow, of course, frequently features a masked talking penguin talking to a sort of Ward Cleaver-looking right-winger. And if you don't mind me doing it, I'll share the dialogue in it.
Go ahead.
Okay, it begins with the Ward Cleaver-looking right-winger saying, "So, I suppose you're going to try to exploit the incident in Tucson to score some cheap political point about guns?" And the penguin responds, "Incident? You mean the assassination attempt which left 6 people dead, including a 9-year-old child?" "There you go with your incendiary rhetoric. You know perfectly well if the killer hadn't had a gun..." "Yes, yes, I know. He would have killed those people with something else. Lawn furniture, maybe. Look, we have this same conversation after every gun massacre. I'm not going to change your mind, and you're not going to change mine. But relax, and this is the important part, Kevin. But relax. Your paranoid political fantasies notwithstanding, no one's going to take your guns away. Barring some seismic realignment in this country, the gun control debate is all but settled, and your side won. The occasional horrific civilian massacre is just the price the rest of us have to pay over and over again, apparently." That's followed by a panel in which the right-winger just stares at the penguin and then says, "I'm extremely offended by the way you phrased that." And the penguin responds, "Of course you are, you delicate flower, you." They don't like being confronted by this kind of thing. But confront it, by God, they must.
Well, the only way they're going to confront it is when it happens to them or their family member.
No, they won't. No, 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 Kevin. They won't confront it then either.
No.
There will be some other rationalization. Wrong place at the wrong time. Somebody was on drugs. Maybe he was an atheist. The victim didn't pray enough. There's always a rationalization around dealing with the central tenet of this problem.
Oh, yeah.
And that is that we have a warped, sick, nearly psychopathic, sociopathic, certainly, fetish with firearms in this country. I don't know if it was. I don't know if it's because the presence of firearms was so effective in rushing along an already preceding genocide against the native peoples who lived here. I don't know if it's because of the fact that every time we talk about American history, it seems like almost without fail we're talking about some moment in which somebody killed somebody else.
Yep.
You know, I'm a big fan. I'm sorry, I'm soapboxing here, Kevin. I'm a big fan of reading historical markers.
Yep.
And every time, you know, this was the home of General so-and-so, or on this ground, the Indians massacred a lone white family.
Yep.
Yep. I bet you 90% of the roadside historical markers in this country have something to do with somebody killing somebody else.
Right.
And I catch myself in it periodically because, you know, I love history. And lo and behold, if you really get down and roll in it for a while, you realize that history tends to be the history of who got killed by whom when.
Yep. And
that goes, you know, that goes to essentials of human nature, and the point to be made here, if there is any point at all, is that the cultures that are going forward as human beings are the ones who are trying to put some distance between themselves and that. And the ones who are going nowhere are the ones who are not just memorializing it, but reveling in it and wallowing in it.
Yep.
Sorry, I didn't mean. I'm not trying to. I'm not yelling at you. I hope you know that.
It's like more yelling at light. No one makes sense to it because that's what we all want to do. You know.
I'll tell you the truth, Kevin. You've heard me say it a million times. You know, I get to the end of the program and we've had a lot of really invigorating conversation and we've gone back and forth and we've processed and we've worked at things and tried to figure things out and make some semblance of sense out of a senseless world. And I say, gee, where did the time go?
Yep.
You know what I'm doing tonight?
Looking at the clock.
I'm looking at the clock and I'm praying for 9.
Yep.
And I mean, that's not you, and that's not any caller. That's because of the nature of what we're talking about.
Yep.
But the thing is, I can't rush the clock because you know what? You know what rides behind that, Kevin? If you rush the clock, that means we're a few minutes closer to the next time this happens.
Yep, exactly. And it's not going to change.
The bloodthirsty demon worshippers have won the battle. See, I have to use that kind of imagery. The battle is over. This is going to happen again. It's going to happen again and again and again and again and again. And we'll have the for-profit media out there. Tragedy in Colorado. Oh, tragedy in Virginia. Tragedy in California. Tragedy in Wisconsin. Tragedy in Alabama.
Yep.
But inherent in that word tragedy is A, the insulting premise that the victims were somehow flawed, and B, tragedies only become you only recognize a tragedy as a tragedy after you have seen everything go wrong in front that makes the tragic protagonist be tragic. And we don't make that inquiry. I mean, go turn on any for-profit media program you want to, and you will hear a lot of somber tones and a lot of talk about how the killer was and who the victims were, and the victims, God, they deserve to be remembered.
Yep.
But there is one thing you will not hear. As sure as God made little green apples, you will not hear anybody say that it's going to happen again.
Yep. And we all know that it will. Even the ones that aren't mentioning it know it will happen again. And you take a look just since the incident in Tucson, how many times we've had to deal with it just since then?
Yeah. You know, we don't cover, and most of us don't know half the stories about how little Johnny got caught at school today with a gun in his backpack.
Yep.
We don't know half of those stories. We don't know a tenth of those stories.
How little Johnny's daddy was a police officer and little Johnny got caught with the gun in his backpack because daddy left it on the nightstand and never expected that little Johnny would take it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, who could reasonably foresee that? I know. Kevin, have yourself a good night, my friend. Stay safe.
I will, Bob, and I will talk with you next week sometime.
I hope so. You know, we're going to be on the road, but I think everything will still be working. Hey. Agnes and I have been rehearsing.
Are you all going to be on the road Monday through Friday?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, very good.
Okay. But we'll be broadcasting. So.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, well, good luck on that.
Okay, bye now.
Bye. Take care, bud.
Kevin calling from Colorado Springs. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Listen, hey, Bob, listen, when did I miss the page with the, we had to hear about, some sort of beer summit lesson from Obama because his daughters go to the movies. I mean, can we come up with something a little bit more, more reasonable? I don't understand. I was like sitting there thinking, you're talking about what? What the fuck? Is it just the what was that movie, Idiocracy? Is that what's going on here? Because I was gobsmacked at the comments from Obama. It's like, dude, we need a little bit more than, I'm talking about that your daughters go to the movies and blah, blah, blah. That shit was weak and...
Well, but is it, I saw that too, but Sandra, isn't that the natural outgrowth of if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon?
Well, I suppose so, but I mean, it didn't do nothing for me. I was just like, well, no, can you say the word guns at all? No, that would be a no. And, people wringing their hands. I'm like, just a few minutes ago, we had a sitting congresswoman got half her head blown off and was crickets. So why the fuck is anything going to happen with this?
Well, see, you're in the same place I am, Sandra.
No, I'm just like, did we forget that they shot up her and her entourage and we got crickets and hand-wringing from the White House? And not a damn thing. They can't even muster enough to ban automatic weapons.
Well, and that's what, that's what made Michael Bloomberg's statement, as Dr. John pointed out, that's what made that, so extremely out of the ordinary.
No, that plutocrat was on today. I'll
yeah.
give him some credit.
Yeah, credit. Where it's due, absolutely.
Shit. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, Bloomberg, you can say what you need to say. Keep on saying it. Because he had them people looking hella stupid. Because it's like, Australia had a mass murder. All of a sudden, all the guns disappeared. It's like, they followed through. These other countries have these incidents, and next thing you know, they got public policy up in the mug. Here, just happens one after another. We get people talking about their kids, and we feel for you, and daughters, sons, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, no...
It's just a very bloody roulette table. And as long, but I don't have to step up and take the dice in my hand.
No, listen, that ain't about none of that. I don't, let's have a discussion about the power of the NRA and how that special interest group is fucking up shit in this country nonstop with its promotion of the small arms dealers, the other manufacturers, the scaring people to death into buying more guns, the idiots coming out and saying, oh, if someone in the theater had a gun, it wouldn't happen. I'm just like, OMG, okay?
Yeah, no, I get it. Can we sort of project a little bit here backwards? Because cause and effect, as you well know, Sandra, are fluid things. But just in the same sense that I wondered how many of the victims who come home will be tormented with medical bills, one.
Well, yeah.
Two, I wonder this. Now, you know that with the inauguration of Barack Obama on January 20th, 2009, that immediately thereafter there was such a run on ammunition that ammunition production had to be ramped up. I mean, they were paying overtime to the people who were manufacturing bullets, okay, and shells.
Ramped up.
Right? So, I want to ask this question. What if we were able to trace the ammunition that was used in this shooting, and we were able to find that ammunition was manufactured on one of those overtime shifts because a bunch of paranoid gun loons were stockpiling ammunition? I mean, could we establish a teensy, tiny, itsy, bitsy little causal link then between right-wing paranoia over that one in our White House and a shot-up theater and 3-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 9-year-olds and veterans who survived a war to come home to be killed in a movie theater? Can we do that?
Yeah, no, and can we now acknowledge that the NRA will turn this mass death into another campaign for selling their guns. I mean, that's the thing. It's just any event that can be used to their advantage.
Happy Friday, shooters. Happy weekend. Any plans? Jesus Christ.
Just, you know, the public policy, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And once again, also, can we, all of a sudden it's not, that to me, you got some fool lobbing, weapons grade, tear gas and shooting up a place. That's not terrorism? What the fuck is it?
Right.
And, oh, I guess the skin wasn't dark enough.
There, that's the, yes.
To be terror, because if that, no, I don't even mean Arab. If he had been black, Mexican, Asian, it would have been terror.
Yeah, oh, yes, it would. Right, yes, now. It would. I mean, yeah, if his name, well, no, never mind the names. If his skin it was anything but what it was, it would have been terrorism.
Right.
By extension, I said what I said about if he'd been Muslim, but if his name had ended in a vowel and he'd had some sort of a Latino name, we would have Louis Gohmert out there adding to the rest of his filthy screed that we need to build the fence.
Well, yeah, no. I'm just saying, it's just kind of like, once again, as someone tweeted and said, what is wrong with white people? I'm sorry. I was like, and where do we start? I'm sorry. I'm just like, I'm so over it. It's like, what in the fuck? You know, just shoot your damn self in the head and lay down, because I can't deal with these freaks, you know, and their issues being played out on poor people trying to watch a goddamn movie.
Yeah, exactly. And
it just gets me so angry. It's like, you know, we got this huge police state apparatus, you know, in full effect, yet we got to placate and patronize these freaked out white men 24/7 when they're like destroying shit nonstop. I don't know. I'm so over it. And we got President Obama who can't, you know, formulate a response that has any teeth for any goddamn incident. So I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No. You owe me no apology. By the way, you got a couple of hallelujahs out there. John said, to me, Obama's words seem sad and empathetic, but I agree. I agree with Sandra and Bloomberg. Let's get beyond sad and into some fixes. Meanwhile, Thomas just said, he said, I badly needed that what the fuck from Sandra. I needed that.
Well, no, but it's just, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, wow. You know, because I was just, for some reason, I woke up and I looked and I thought, are you kidding me? And then I just sort of just, you know, just, it's so outrageous. And, you know, 6-year-old babies being hit and, you know, God knows who else.
Yeah, and that godforsaken television station in Memphis, their first response is, what was a baby doing at a PG-13 movie? Priorities much?
Oh, God. You know, I don't even know what to say about that. That just seems completely nonsensical and a joke. But, you know, what in Colorado, too, you know, what's up? What is up?
Look, there's a reason, and granted, there's a space of time between then and now, but there is a reason, Sandra, that icky, gross, hateful old hag, Ayn Rand, put her anarcho-capitalist paradise in Colorado. It's the Wild West, and you know, and there's Cripple Creek, and you know, the days of the gold rush and the silver rush and the rugged individuality that carved cities out of the mountains. Now, once you get much past Arkansas and Missouri, then all of that weird psychobabble individualism bullshit just bubbles over the top. And, there's a reason, you know, there's a reason that these things happen in old Virginia and Arizona and Idaho and Colorado and Alabama and Tennessee. There's a reason.
No, I just, you know, because, you know, I just think about California has a nerve to have your ass waiting 10 days before you can get your hands on a gun. Now, I don't know how California managed to do that, but,
Well, it would be valuable to know, and I do not,
The shooter was a lovely young man who was very intelligent and grew up in San Diego. Were the guns purchased in Colorado or were the guns purchased in California? I don't know the answer to that.
And another one that popped up, this Melissa Perry, she said, oh, I'm guest hosting the Rachel Maddow Show, and tonight we will discuss the Colorado shooting, violence in America, and why we still need faith. That is
huh?
the topic.
Whoa,
of
no, stop.
Show.
No, you, no.
No, I'm like, oh, no, B, you need to come up with something else. I know she got loads of sycophants all over the world.
No, faith?
Like,
faith?
Faith.
Really? This is it's time. Really? This is the kumbaya time?
Why we need faith. No, I need a ban on goddamn automatic rifles that any fool can buy.
Yeah, see, that's a simple real-world solution.
You know, that's
And I don't care how loud these weirdo gun fetishists squeal. Their freedom will not be diminished by the fact that they can't. Well, this is my AR-15 Betsy, and this is my AR-15 Reber, and this is my AR-15 Beulah. I'm sorry. That's not.
And, you know, yeah, no, I have my 50 millimeter whatever I got mounted on the top of my truck. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And, you know, can we, and the sort of, you know, last I looked, we had a standing army of God knows what. So, you know, can we reel in the Second Amendment fetish, too, at this point? My God. It's
well, actually, no, because remember, this is one of those things that the rats settled over that D.C. handgun case.
Oh, God, no, it just made it worse. I know.
Right, because they held that clause about, I mean, that, it was a specific holding, Sandra.
No, but see,
they specifically held that the well-regulated militia clause had nothing to do with the extension of the right enumerated.
Oh no!
And that you know, and that made me vomit that day, and it makes me want to weep openly now. Because on the other hand, just by comparison, take a look at Fourth Amendment law. Okay, cases decided on search and seizure issues.
Oh, but that's,
issues.
The Fourth Amendment is gone, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and it's gone because they have parsed it to pieces. But no, the Second Amendment, you know, the gun lobby, no, we're not going to parse that. We're not going to say that one phrase is dependent upon another, you know, like the rules of English actually work. You know, that well-regulated militia language, the Supreme Court of the United States, the Rats Court, held specifically that language was the linguistic equivalent of a flourish on a page before the actual language starts. The well-regulated militia part means, according to the rats, absolutely nothing.
Well, no, but you know, and the thing about that gun law you're talking about, you'd think of some poor place like Chicago. If I may go back to January 4th, 15 people were shot in like a 20-hour period. This is what's going on in Chicago, and I don't see Obama talking about his home city, which is like buck wild. I mean, there's shootings there on the hour, every hour right now. It's out of control. And they tried to do some reasonable gun control, and that shit was tossed because of what the courts decided.
Yeah. Now, you stirred up a hornet's nest, Sandra. Marty wrote in and said, who said what? We need faith? Who said that?
And
Isaac, you got Isaac going. God was with faith, you know, with enough question marks to cover the subject line box. He says God was with the shooter when he walked in that theater and had knowledge of the death and consequences for all involved. He didn't intervene. So what exactly are we praying to God for now?
No, and, you know, all of a sudden we have to associate it with a lack of faith. I mean, I'm about to be sick looking at that tweet. I'm like, damn, girl.
Oh, that's sickening. That's that is beyond sickening. That's vomitous.
Yeah, so that one dot did me, and I'm just like, oh, no. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, you know what? I'm sure Hannity would love to do it, and God knows George Zimmerman would love to do it. Maybe he can do a guest shot on Hannity and explain that Aurora, Colorado was part of God's plan, too.
Well, no, see, that's another one that is like glory. I won't say anything more about him. Oh, my God, I am so insulted and horrified that we have to be subjected to that idiot on his media roadshow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, oh, it's just incredible. So I just think that poor family of the Martin kid, I mean, God, what how hideous it all
is. How do you not just, no, the minute that comes out of his mouth, how do you not just go out the door and start walking?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to say, but I'm like, you know, I don't know what's holding, I hope they got people holding them back. You understand what I'm saying? Because I can see how that could get real ugly, drive-by. Yeah, and that could just get really ugly, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
You know, in the Godfather, the guy wakes up with a horse's head in his bed. I don't know, maybe George Zimmerman wakes up in the morning with a can of Arizona iced tea and a bag of Skittles in his bed.
You know, it's just, yeah, I mean, you know, I hate to, like, you know, respond to violence with violence, but damn, he is really, just really over the top with his madness, and it's being sort of facilitated by Radio Rwanda, and I'm like, well, that name is so apt. It's getting more apt every day.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And like I said, it's kind of interesting that the idea is also catching on. I was looking here at the tweet that I had from a while back, and I don't want to misattribute it. I think it was Jack in Shreveport who caught it. You know, one of the most well-known tweeters out there is a guy named Shock, S-H-O-Q. And lo and behold, Jack sent me a tweet and said, "Sound familiar?" and gave me a link to it, and it was a retweet from Mark's Dudek at Shock. Fox News could ultimately be our Radio Rwanda. And so, you know, it was one, you know, Albert's all the time joking and saying, you know, hi Van, you know, hey world, because you came up with that how long ago?
Please. And it was the only reason why I thought of it, because I had just been reading, you know, just what the radio, how the radio was used there during the genocide. And it was just horrific, you know?
Well, you've got a lot of minds turning, Sandra. Ron and Raleigh just said, want to make a bet? You want to make a bet that we don't have a national day of prayer and mourning over this incident? Because I wouldn't take that bet. I bet you we will have one.
Oh, no. See, no. So I just, you know, because the response to everything in this country in the vein of Chris Hedges is this sort of faith bullshit, which is, just completely wipes out reason, you know? It's like, what are you talking about?
Well, you can't do reason and faith at the same time. And even some of those really sharp thinkers of the church said that, you know, umpty hundred years ago.
Yeah.
But I can see, let's see. How about a joint appearance by Romney and Barack Obama at the memorial service?
Oh, you know, I don't want to see any coming togethers of any of them assholes.
Yeah, Obama suspended his campaign events today, but didn't Romney keep campaigning?
Oh, I know that was, you know, some headline and one of the first headlines that came out of it. It's like, oh my God, they always have to tie every single thing to their hideous horse race, you know? Try another tack. I don't know. I just was like, oh no.
I know. But you understand why I was talking about, you know, kind of hurrying the clock along. I mean, and that's not you, and that's not anybody else who's called in. It's so godforsaken frustrating, Sandra, to see these stories out here, know that we're going to have to talk about them because you can't not talk about them, and yet at the same time, you know as sure as the sun's going to rise that we're going to have the conversation again in a week or 2 weeks, but we're going to have the conversation again. You know, like you said about Australia or any other country where one of these things happens. You know, they have one, but we're free, so we have them by the dozen.
Yeah.
I can't get my head around it.
I don't really know what to make of it. You know, we're going to have to, deal with them doing TSA in the movies now? It's going to be a sort of explosion of the police state? I mean,
right.
Will not be anything that matters. What it will be is...
Do we have to take our shoes off at the movie theater now?
More security, literally more security theater at the theater. And I just don't know. I don't know what, you know, you can't dress up anymore if you want to go see Star Wars. I mean, who knows what madness they'll come out with. But it won't be anything substantive. It'll just be some BS.
Right. It'll be absolutely meaningless, symbolic, ineffectual. Let's not leave out ineffectual.
And to make people more compliant, you know, they can get that in. You know what I mean? I don't trust none of it. Because when you have the leader, our so-called leader, not able to harness this situation into something else, you know.
I mean, I'd like to hear from some of the international audience, frankly. I'd like to know because I didn't go to a movie or anything, I'd like to know if when you enter a movie theater in Berlin, you have to go through a metal detector. I'd like to know if that happens in Stockholm. I'd like to, frankly, you know, you talk about the places where this kind of crazy shit's most likely to happen. I want to know if you got to go through a metal detector to go into a movie theater in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, I don't know. I just heard that in New York, you know, they were like reassessing, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what they're coming up with.
Well, they're scared to death of copycats.
All right, that was it. Yeah, so I can imagine, you know, what I can imagine is people staying the hell home. Okay, basically.
Yeah, like that paranoid right-winger who wrote in talking about the popcorn ain't that good and the seats aren't that comfortable. And why won't you let me bring my gun to the moving picture theater?
Oh, God. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, for me, that'll be a wrap, and there's always BitTorrent, because I can't be dealing, for real.
No, and I'm sure that there will be some sort of, who is it that's the new head of the motion picture industry of America? Or not new head, but...
Oh, isn't it Dodd?
Yeah, isn't it Chris Dodd? Maybe yeah, there'll be some cool pronouncement about it's safe for America to go to the movie theaters again.
Oh, no. He did that?
No. I'm just saying it'll happen.
Oh, no. I don't want to, you know, I'm already trying to recover from George Bush saying it was awesome and he was powerful, but he can't go back. I'm still trying to recover from that speech.
I don't know if it's possible. I mean, no, I heard that. And I mean, there's little dents in my desk here from where my head just spontaneously goes splot.
No, you know, that dude should be, I'm thinking you need to be locked the hell up. What are you talking about?
Hey, George, want to go to a movie?
Yeah, and then today we find out, he won't be going to the convention. Ooh, you think?
No, really? And Count Dicula won't either, I guess.
Well, yeah, but he'll...
Him and some decent human being's heart.
No, but if we're subjected to outer space Romney, he'll be back in the White House, no doubt. Dick Cheney with his...
Oh.
With his seventh or eighth heart that he gets. God knows.
It's just so evil. It's evil.
It is evil. Same with Kissinger. Even though that motherfucker's still alive. It's... Damn, evil just don't go.
Evil don't die.
It don't go. And I'm thinking Kissinger got to be 90. He has to be. And it's just like, you know what? Die already.
You know, we hate to be this way, but sometimes it's kind of unavoidable.
No, I'm just sort of, you know, no, I can't, I keep forgetting that Kissinger is still breathing. Then I hear, Obama's meeting with Kissinger. I'm like, what? He, you know, there he is.
Oh, Jesus.
Kissinger on Dynasty. I don't know if you ever caught that, but that was like something from hell.
No, stop. What?
Yeah, he was on an episode of Dynasty way back in the day.
I'm so glad I missed some of this.
Anyway, I'm drifting. So listen, have a good weekend.
I'm going to try, and hopefully we'll have a little chat once I get to D.C.
All right, yeah, good luck with that.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Sandra, take care. Bye now. Oh. No, I'm not going to say it. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's John in upstate New York.
Hey, John, see, you're not screaming.
No, I'm not. No, I'm definitely over that. Well, thanks in large part, really, to you and the show. And that's what I was really trying to get across in that first email, and I'm not going to stay on too long, but this is therapeutic for me. It really is, hearing you talk, and whether you're being sympathetic or your callers are, or you're raging or your callers are, because they both come from really reasoned places.
I hope it comes from the right place, John.
Well,
I really do.
It seems like it to me, because I up here in Binghamton, New York, we had our own mass shooting a little over 2 years ago. 13 people shot to death while they were studying to become citizens.
And if I can just interrupt you for a minute, the way you say that,
it's
like 200 years ago saying, out here in Poughkeepsie, we had our smallpox outbreak. Because everybody, sooner or later, everybody has one.
Yeah. No, you're right. It didn't even occur to me, but you're right about that.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not criticizing you.
No. I know exactly what you're saying, and you're right. And it's, like you said, it's going to happen again sooner or later.
And everybody in this country, John, gets to ask, when is it someone I love?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why what I was saying is that this is good for me, and this is important because you and the folks who have called have been giving it context, and we haven't been getting the knee jerk. This wouldn't happen if everybody was armed, or it wouldn't happen if there were no guns, because everybody that listens to this program understands that it's more complex than that.
You know, there, I'll have to, or if you run back in my Twitter feed. Because it wasn't a direct message. It was there for everyone to see. Go, when you get a minute, John, go and find the tweet that I got from Isaac yesterday, or maybe night before last. What it says is, it's here. It's like... Grandpa Rage the Cantaloupe Edition or something, okay? And I know it seems like I'm wandering afield, but I'm really not. What you'll see is the video of an older guy completely losing his mind over the fact that the cantaloupe that he had planned to have for lunch isn't in the refrigerator anymore.
Okay.
And the reason it occurred to me is because that's a guy without a gun. But it is also indicative of the way we behave. And when we catch each other behaving badly, the first thing we think to do is to video it and put it up on YouTube so the rest of the world can see it. And then, I mean, I think there's a kind of sick affirmation that happens with all of this. Does this make any sense?
Well, honestly, I'm not really following you.
Okay, well, I mean, when you see the video... he completely loses control. I mean, it really is a rage, and it's over a cantaloupe.
Okay.
And, you know, one, what if he had a gun? Two, he has no ability to control himself, and there's nothing that says, by the way, my grandpa has Alzheimer's, or by the way, my grandpa is dangerously insane. No, it's just another day in an American home. And what I'm trying to get at is that it's not that we are a gun violent culture. We are a violent culture.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's your violence and spectacle, and that's part of what builds into it. And you really kind of blew my mind when you talked about the what if we could trace the ammunition back and if it came on one of those overtime shifts. After Obama got elected and people started buying ammunition like crazy, that really struck me. And it's like, yeah, that's what about that? Like, why can't we ask questions like that and really try to get a little bit deeper to the root of what is causing this sort of thing? Because I think that's really kind of profound, whether it's true or not. That's what we should be asking. That's what the conversation should be, not, well, he was crazy and guns aren't the problem and we need to arrest more people and we need to pray more, you know? It's things like what you said and what I said in the email and what some other callers have said.
Yeah, it is too horrible. It is too horrifying. It is too ooh, there was almost the word.
Yeah, the T word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For us to permit it to be moved along in the news cycle as we know it will be with such facility. And such nebulous, facile, passing attempts at explanation, because you know what the rest of the news cycle is going to look like, because they're going to milk this for a couple of more days, and because you know they've just paid somebody a whole bunch of
whole bunch of money to come up with their new Massacre in Colorado theme music and to create their Tragedy in Colorado the screen graphic. You know, when you make those things, you got to get a little use out of them because they cost the network money. And I hate myself for even thinking that way.
Well, but you're right. And if there's one thing that we're not going to get out of this program and the folks who participate, it's fast, still, and easy. And I know you say you're watching the clock and you want it to be over, and you're kind of maybe hoping you wouldn't have to do it today. But this is really, really helpful for me and probably for a lot of people. And I'm very grateful.
Well, John, for the thank you very much for that, because it makes it more worth doing. And it makes me not feel so hopeless and helpless about this.
Yeah, it's every time this happens, it seems like an endless cycle of people just talking in circles and talking bullshit. And this is not what we get here. And I really appreciate it. And I'm gonna get off. Okay.
So, all right. Thanks. Thanks, John, so much. And have the best weekend that you can.
You too, sir.
Bye. And that's Dr. John. Let's keep going. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. How you doing?
Jim, that's a tough question right now.
Well, I think you are having a pretty rough time tonight. And I can understand that. And, you know, the only words, in my opinion, that can express this is horror. And,
yeah, because you understand what I'm saying about the meaning of the word tragedy, because you are, you know, you're a learned man. I can't call it a tragedy.
Well, I don't know how learned I am. I just know what I've experienced and what I've seen, and it's basically a repetitive thing in this country, and it's not anything that's peculiar to race or color or whatever. But, you know, this country, in my opinion, and I may be wrong, it's just my opinion, is basically a gun culture country.
Well, it is, but either one causes the other, or the other causes. There is nowhere in the history of the settlement of this continent by European peoples, and I'm trying to put that in as neutral a context as I can, because I don't think we can speak in the same light about the peoples who inhabited this continent before they got here. There is no point in the history of the colonization, inhabitation, invasion of this continent by European peoples that has not been violent. It was born in violence.
There was violence when they found it. I mean, you know, the violence of the Aztec sacrifices and things of that nature. Those were extremely horrible. I mean, Tenochtitlan, when they had their sacrifices, the gutters of the city ran with clots of blood that were the size of a man's head.
True enough. But I'm talking about the white folks getting here. You know,
unfortunately, you know,
the genocide of those peoples, the genocide of the North American peoples, slavery. I was wandering around down in South Central Alabama for a while, and that's what made me think about the historical markers, because, you know, the Battle of Fort Mims, the massacre at Horseshoe Bend, the burning of the arsenal at Selma. You know, God, everything that we think is worth commemorating seems to be bathed in blood.
Unfortunately, you're right.
So would we be surprised that the common denominator of most of our horror?
I think it can be answered in a very short phrase. And I can remember this from writing a thesis on Steve Decatur Miller, the governor of South Carolina, who said, we have several ways of resolving our conflicts. The ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box.
Yeah.
And that's been with us an awfully long time.
And Jim, you know, we were talking about the fact that the responses will be facile and stupid. Well, here's the first one. It's out of the L.A. Times. AMC has now banned masks and offensive costumes in theaters. So you can't put on your Batman costume, you know, even if you're a 8-year-old Batman fan. Nope, sorry. So, you know, we'll use these sweepingly stupid, ineffective... You know, if you're going to come shoot up our movie theater, you're going to have to come here looking like Rambo. But not if it's a Rambo costume, mind you.
Well, hell, Bob, I can remember when I used to get dressed up to the Rocky Horror
Picture Show. First thing I thought of.
You know what kind of gun I carried?
No.
A water pistol.
Oh, absolutely, for the rain scene, sure.
A cigarette lighter.
Let's see, there was newspaper?
Yeah. Kind of stuff, you know, and basically if you dressed up, you could get in free.
Sure. And I made a magnificent riffraff, I will have you know.
Right.
We will not talk about the time that I went as Dr. F. There are a lot of people still trying to forget that.
Dr. Frankenfurter?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I can imagine you in...
Don't. You're doing manifest harm to the rest of the audience, so just because everybody knows what...
I'm not.
No, don't get them imagining, too. They've already got an emoticon in the chat room with my head on a dancing body in a Speedo. Don't encourage them.
I mean, if you wanted to wear stockings with whatever and garter supports, I mean, that's fine.
Oh, sweet Jesus, Jim. Isaac just told me by email, and you'll want to know this, Bain Capital owns AMC.
Oh, well. You know, the thing about American Movie Classics.
No, the movie chain.
Right. Well, whatever. I mean, yeah, the movie chain. But, you know, that's another thing that I wanted to surface here, is every time I turn the television on, I see somebody being gunned down by a machine whose basic purpose is to throw bullets or hurl projectiles.
Yeah, at anywhere from 900 to 2,000 feet per second.
And we have become so inured to this, and we have become so in love with violence. I mean, I can remember the first... I don't want to get too much into this because I don't want to involve myself, but I mean, I can remember people enjoying the thrill of explosions that they saw in real time, in many cases, over cruise missiles being able to go in through the window of a building and destroy it.
Yeah. Oh, well, do you remember the happy glee which we watched General Schwarzkopf tell us about the luckiest man in the world?
No, I don't.
When he was doing the daily briefing back in Bush War I, and there was a guy who had just driven across a bridge. And I want to show y'all the luckiest man in the world. And it's that grainy black and white aircraft video footage, and you see the little targeting device on the bridge. And he just gets across the bridge when the bomb hits and the bridge blows up. That's the luckiest man in the world. See how our smart bombs work?
Well, unfortunately, Bob, those have become part of our culture and a part of our arsenal. And, you know, they are used to cause certain consequences. And I am deeply saddened, shocked, and horrified by this gentleman or this man today who thought it to go into a theater and to do what he did. I mean, you know, it's the only thing I can say. I don't know what else I can do.
Right. Yeah, no, you are feeling the same sense of helplessness that was all over me the minute I hit the intro music.
Well, you know, I'm lighting a candle tonight in memory of those men who tried to kill Hitler. I mean, these were men who had guns, but these were men who realized the consequences of the leader they followed, whose philosophy was that all power came out of the barrel of the gun. And, of course, that's not from Hitler's mouth. That's from Chairman Mao's mouth.
Yeah.
So many other dictators and horrible people who've come to power and who've caused us to have to pick ourselves up off the floor after every 20 years. It's just not appropriate. It's, to me, it's not appropriate. I mean, I grew up in a gun culture myself, and I grew up in an organization that used guns and used weapons and used all types of, to affect political means.
Yeah, it's a great destructive force.
Exactly. And unfortunately, that's just the way the world
well,
is.
Well, and you know, you mentioned, you know, you mentioned the military. You know, the one rifle that this guy used was an AR-15. Now, the AR-15 is, if I've got my guns correctly, the civilianized version of an M-16.
It is.
Okay. So, I mean, you and I, we're both here in West Virginia, Jim. And I don't hunt, and neither do you, but we probably both know people who do. And, I mean, I knew guys who put a lot of effort into figuring out what kind of ordnance they were going to take out in the woods. And the serious hunters, the really, really good hunters, the guys who could drop a deer with a .22 caliber bullet, okay? I mean,
I have never, never.
Well,
ever.
I know, but I'm making a point here.
I understand, sir.
They, you know, they would debate the merits of a 270 over a .30-06 over when you might want a brush gun versus when you wanted a gun that could really do distance like a 7mm mag, you know, that kind of stuff. But never once in those guys, never once among them, these serious gun hunters. Never once did I hear him say, you know what you need in that instance? You need the civilian version of an M16. And my point in putting that forward, Jim, is that those things are not on the market for anybody who hunts seriously. Those things are on the market for people who like to have death engines sitting in their closets or in their gun safes or in their gun racks, okay? Has it been so long that we have forgotten that the Beltway assassin in D.C. used that very same rifle?
Yeah, from the backseat of a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Do you understand my point?
Yes, I do.
And we used to have a ban on these damned things. Because
you know, I fired the M16. I fired lots of things.
Yeah,
I never took any type of pleasure in it. It was a situation driven by necessity. And these people who enthuse about the type of weapons they have, the way a master chef would about the ingredients for a souffle, I don't understand that kind of mentality. Because I know what those things have done. I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of something like that. And I understand that, you know, there is no turning back from that because once you discharge that particular weapon or whatever, that's it. There is no, I'm sorry. There is no, gosh, I wish I hadn't done that. They did it. And these people who are so in love with gun culture and what guns can do, are so inured, and as far as I'm concerned, their souls are dead, and I had no reason to have any type of contact with somebody like that.
Well, you know, you do have a greater familiarity with firearms than others do, Jim.
They are in a situation, most of these people, that they've never been on the receiving end of it.
Well, amen to that. But, you know, for anybody, you know, just walking through your local CVS or Rite Aid or Walgreens or whatever, go over to the magazine rack. Because this kind of drives Jim's point home. And that is go pick up, while you're waiting for your script to be filled or whatever, pick up a copy of Guns and Ammo. Okay? Pick one of those things up and start reading one article about one handgun in there. And see how long it takes before you get to the phrase about stopping power.
Oh, I understand that.
Oh, I know you understand, but the thing is, stop what? You know, this is a handgun. We're not talking about stopping an elk. We're not
talking about stopping a moose.
Talking about stopping life.
Right. Stopping life. Stopping hearts.
Exactly. And believe you me, I used to train people or train trainers who use weapons like that in a military situation. And it taught me a great respect for what these machines can do. And I don't know what happened to this young man who went into a theater and why he was driven to that or why he thought it was I can't conceive of it. Because
no, and at this point in time, all we can do is speculate, and that's probably inappropriate. And I know you know that.
It is. I mean, I can't understand it, and I can't speculate about it. And I'm just
But, you know, we can make general commentaries not about him, but about the culture. We can talk about a culture that isolates people. We can talk about a culture that avoids contact with our neighbors, that makes us distrustful and fearful of people who are not, A, looking like us, B, sounding like us, C, living with us. I mean, this is, you know, I talked about a violent culture, but by the same token, Jim, you know, it's also a very, I mean, this is a profoundly paranoid culture.
It is indeed, and these people are driven to a situation in which there is one thing that can only be solved by means of this nature, and that is conflict resolution. Not talking, not being able to surface opinions and hear what the other fellow has to say, but people who are so madly driven by something that is against what they believe that they feel like, well, if this guy doesn't agree with me, or if this guy is different from me, or if this guy is gay, or if this guy is black, or if this guy is brown, or whatever, well, the only thing I think I can do is to go to my trusty gun cabinet and whip out whatever I think is appropriate.
Old Bertha. Right.
And that's what horrifies me so about the whole situation. I mean, this country, the history of it is filled with gun culture. I mean, Chicago, for example, that one caller mentioned. I mean, God, that's been one of the biggest gun towns in the history of this country. I mean, ever since Al Capone. That's how he solved his problems.
Yeah.
That's how, the mafia solved their problems.
Well, and that was the comment that I was offering about Colorado. And going back to... Going back to our conversation about this place being born in violence, you know, you've got 13 original colonies, and bang, you're up against the frontier of the Alleghenies. And so at one point in time, virtually every state in this union was the frontier. And every state in this union is attended in its frontier phase by massacre, bloodshed, wanton murder. You know, the story I told about the original first capital of the state of Alabama, where the entire town watched a murder take place in the middle of its streets, but when it came time to try the guy, no witnesses to the event could be found. There's another story out of Virginia that's very similar, and I'm sure they're replicated all over the country.
Oh yeah, can you imagine who would want their witness against somebody who did that? Because the same,
you know, they killed him, they'll kill me.
Exactly, the same thing will be coming to their front door the next night.
And if there's any hope to be had, maybe this is because we are still a very young country. God knows Europe bathed itself in blood before it came to its senses about firearms.
Well, that's the reason I said this thing to you about the 58th anniversary of the attentat against Adolf Hitler was because at least it would appear to me that parts of Germany had begun to realize that it took some two world wars and total destruction to realize that conflicts cannot be resolved that way, that taking your neighbor's property cannot be resolved that way, or taking out your frustrations on someone whom you don't like, or someone who's different than you, who's Jewish, or who is disfigured, or who is...
Or Serbs about Croats, or Croats about Serbs, or... Right.
Whatever. Or someone whom you consider to be Untermensch, because you're not totally healthy and blonde and blue-eyed. I mean, maybe, I hope that Germany has learned that, for example.
Yeah, but you know, we act as if, I don't mean you and I, but the other side of it, well, we're America and we fought. I mean, you know, God damn, Romney just made me sick. Oh, we're not going to let the UN take away our Second Amendment rights. We fought and had it for freedom and independence. Well, there's your freedom and independence in Aurora, Colorado, Mitt.
Well, Obama didn't say that.
No. Romney said that.
I know that. Obama didn't say it. Romney did.
Right.
And Romney is the kind of person who, in my opinion, and I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am, but I may be wrong. I mean, I'm probably infallible. Who would be more disposed to foster a climate of understanding for this type of behavior?
But bear in mind, the election, as noted, the election of Barack Obama occasioned one of the greatest economic upsurges in American history during peacetime, if not the greatest, for the manufacture of ammunition and sales of ammunition and the manufacture and sales of firearms. The larger point I was trying to reach, though, is that the right wing talks about nobody has gun, acts as though no one has access to firearms but America. And that in its own self, Jim, is a dirty, filthy, shameless lie. I mean, my God, we were talking about Austria the other night.
Yeah.
Austrians love their guns. You know, the British, love their, beautiful shooting irons, and they go out in tweed coats and blousy pants to, shoot at birds and stuff. The French have guns. The Germans have guns. There's guns all over Europe. But nobody seems to be taking them into movie theaters or schools or churches. Because they have rifles and shotguns. They don't have grenade launchers. I mean, I knew a guy who had a grenade launcher, okay? Because he had a federal firearms license. He was a dealer. He wanted a grenade launcher. Couldn't buy the grenades, so he built his own black powder grenades. Holy crap. But they've got, I mean, an Austrian Steyr hunting rifle is, as firearms go, a beautiful work of art.
Yeah, Bob, I've got a cap and ball pistol that dates from the 1780s that belonged to one of my ancestors.
Yeah,
and I also have a ball for PPK.
Yeah, so all of these countries have an abundance of firearms. But what they don't have is, for starters, pistol obsession. And they don't have military-style rifles that will hold 92 cartridges. This guy shot, in the space of 2 minutes or so, 70 people. 71 people, killed 12 of them in a couple of minutes. He had two Glocks, a shotgun, and an AR-15.
You know, to me, that is unfathomable. It is totally beyond the reach of my mentality to do something like that. I don't know why the man did it, and we can't speculate about it.
No, we can't, but we can ask questions. Yes, it's a midnight screening of a film. Yes, he goes in from the back of the theater, okay? But I want to make this larger point, and that is, this is a gun fetish America where if you see a guy, and again, I ask you to contrast this with other places, other countries that you've been, if you see a guy who isn't a cop, who's walking around with a bunch of firearms, because you can't, I don't care if you're the Joker or whomever, you can't hide an AR-15, two Glocks, and a shotgun in his expanded chest cavity or anything else. But in this country, if you see a guy walking around armed to the teeth, you know what? You know, as an American citizen, that you dare not say anything about it, because the next thing you know, you'll have the gun lobby on your ass claiming that you're un-American and oppose his freedoms.
Well, you know, my response to that is simply this. These people who are so in love with gunplay and the machines that are responsible for it or that enable it, they do not have the respect for it. To me, these people opine, this is another toy. This is another four-wheeler. This is another bicycle with some type of motor propellant on it. I'm concerned, these people have no more respect for the person with the gun than somebody who gets out on the road and drives drunk and runs into you or your child or your wife or your family. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes sense on a number of levels, Jim. It really, really does.
I mean, there's one thing that I was brought up to believe when I was a boy was to totally respect firearms. I mean, my father would not even allow me to take a piece of pipe and point it at anything or him. And I remember the first time I did that and was pointing just a piece of tubular steel at him, which was not a gun. He said, "Now, son, I want to tell you something." He said, "You don't ever take anything like that, and you don't ever take any type of weapon and point it at anything, because that is a machine for killing people." Because he had been through the Second World War, and he had been brought up by his own father to, you know, respect what these things can do.
Right.
And these NRA freaks and people like that, I mean, they worship guns, not God. They worship firepower, not faith. They worship killing. And the bringing down, for example, of a defenseless animal just because, oh, well, I can do it. And it really takes a real man to get out there and take a gun and shoot a defenseless creature that is in no way has harmed you.
Well, that's the only place where you and I will diverge on this, because when you've worked your ass off to bring a garden in and you get up the next morning and find out that Bambi and his friends have taken all of your labor down to the very nub on the level of the ground.
I understand that, Bob.
One's kind feelings toward that defenseless that creature becomes much less defenseless in one's eyes.
I understand that. I understand what you're saying, and I can imagine your frustration for having brought in a garden and having devoured by a deer.
But yeah, at that point in time, you know, because those deer ate, and you know, I'd get up in the morning and I'd see, you know, 16 of them down in the corner of the yard. At that point in time, as far as I was concerned, in light of the fact that they'd eaten 72 hot pepper plants, I considered them jerky on the hoof.
Well, that's just between you and me.
Yeah, but I mean, you see my point. I mean, that's.
But if I were in your situation, I would just say, well, I should have built a better fence to keep them out, or I would replace my lost plants by going.
Well, and it goes even further than that, though, Jim, because the fact of the matter is. The white-tailed deer population, for instance, had been hunted to near extinction in West Virginia by the turn of the 19th into the 20th century. They were deliberately brought back by the State Department of Game, Department of Natural Resources, not because there was some determination that West Virginia was a better place with Bambi leaping through it, but because it was understood that that was an economic industry that brought people here, that people come here and spend money in order to have a chance to wander around in the hills and hollers and shoot at deer.
I understand that, and that's the reason that I barely go out, and I certainly don't go out hunting. Did you ever see that film called The Queen with Helen Mirren?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that beautiful stag that she admired so much?
Yes.
And do you remember what happened to that beautiful animal with this?
Didn't it go in a hunting?
She went to a neighbor's house, and it was on her land. And she found it hanging up suspended in the home of the person that she visited. And I just admire the beauty of these animals and these creatures so much, as well as I do the animals at my own house.
That I understand. I do completely.
And I simply will not take anything, Bob, that I cannot give back. I can remember as a boy when I got my first BB gun. Oh, I was so thrilled with that. And I was in the lawn back of my parents' house, and I was aiming at this, that, and the other, and I saw this, I think it was a blue jay. And I brought it down, right in the head. And my mom was watching from the kitchen window. and I brought it back, and I was in tears. I must have been 11, 12, something like that. And my mom sat down with me and held that dead bird in his hand.
Yeah. See, I gave the same speech to Ferg. I said, you know, Daddy, I want a BB gun. Daddy, I want a BB gun.
And he said...
I said, and you're going to kill something. And the minute you do, you're going to feel washed over by a sickness that you will never get past. Killing is not pleasant.
No, it's not. And she said, son, don't ever take anything that you cannot take back.
Well, lucky for Ferg, he never had to feel that sensation, Jim, because instead he accidentally put a BB into the windshield, at which point Agnes broke his BB gun into a million tiny pieces.
Well, good for Agnes.
Yeah. Jim, have a good night and a good weekend.
Same to you, sir.
Bye now. I hope I didn't sound too whiny by saying that. I just didn't feel like I had it for the show tonight. It's hard. It's hard to discuss problems that seem to be insoluble. I got an article here that came in from Marty. He said, I don't know if you saw this one, but this strangely dovetails the shooting in Aurora. A 35-year-old Colorado man avoided a jail sentence on Wednesday, this from Raw Story, even after pleading guilty to conspiring to sell more than 30 machine guns with optical sights, 5 pounds of C4 explosives, grenades, and 14 semi-automatic pistols smuggled into the country from Iraq. Richard Paul of Durango brokered a deal for 5 years of probation and 8 months of home confinement by pleading guilty and agreeing to testify against his co-conspirator, 34-year-old former Navy SEAL Nicholas Bickle, who Paul had known for more than 18 years. He reportedly sold 12 AK-47s and 5 pistols in 2 separate transactions in 2010 to an undercover investigator that openly expressed a desire to move the weapons to Mexico. The third paragraph is, of course, the kicker. Colorado does not prohibit the possession of assault rifles, though the state requires background checks are required for purchases made at gun shows, and all sales must be completed with a detailed record of the buyer and the seller. Oh, Jesus. A couple of other emails. This in from Steve. Bob, our ignorance and folly boils down to the sound economics of letting the sick and helpless wander the streets, listening to the myriad demons in their heads, finally acting on the instructions of those same insistent voices. I am personally acquainted with the real tragedy of mental illness in one form or another, but very few of us can exorcise the demons, the lingering ghosts, to any result approaching the beautiful or true, to the limit or possibility of art. It is so much easier, convenient, cheaper, to administer the latest cocktail of mind-shaping or brain-dulling chemicals, to place the outpatient on self-maintenance, to pay the freshly minted social worker a quarter of the salary of a psychiatrist in order to keep a paper file, throw away the key, give the sick child a dose of liberty. Something that this poor bastard's mother said, her comment concerning the police having got the right one, has set me off in this direction. There's a history there, a stuffed file, Mom's weary resignation. Well, for good or ill, we have our summer soap opera. God bless the sick society. Steve. And David from Maine, adding a bit of punctuation. The reason why we can't ask these questions is because, to put it bluntly, it F's up the money. That's bookie talk. The more rational you try to take this question, we always miss the obvious. Because gun and ammo industries are able to have this much profit without that much of a tax or penalty, you decide what you want to call it, we are led down a road of ammo shells and blood. It is simple. We gave them the keys to their firearm paradise and the sound of triggers and bullet chambers. Should we get serious about this, we may have to take it by force if the NRA remains silent. The gun lobbies have not spoken. They've rung out with a series of relentless gunfire echoing throughout our nation. We haven't had a conversation. We were held at gunpoint, literally, and that is so true. And we haven't had a conversation, but by God, if there's somewhere the conversation's being had, I guess I can fairly say that I'm proud that it's taking place here. And what have we decided to do? Yeah, there's that. Continue to give them more levers of power and a higher concentration of power. Bravo, America! You get nothing. you lose, as a certain Mr. Wonka might say. Yeah. And Michael say, he said, not to put too fine a point on it, but I would have a great deal more respect for the NRA if, rather than trying to hide behind their bogus interpretation of the Second Amendment, they actively campaigned for a new constitutional amendment which would strike the first clause of the second. Needless to say, I'd still disagree with them, but at least it'd be honest, not illiterate. Then again, I suppose the average NRA drone reads their Bibles with the same illiterate pick-and-choose approach. I thought you were going to say pick-and-nose approach. That's me. They take with the Second Amendment. It was just a dream anyway, says Michael. God, I hate for the week to end this way, especially because I had a hell of a story. I had a hell of a story that needed to go out. If you check my Twitter feed or my Facebook page, you'll see what I was going on about. There's a scientist out there who said that he took the job of trying to discredit the science that shows that we're being poisoned by mountaintop removal. A tenured Yale professor and PhD scientist said he took it because he had to pay the rent. Jesus Christ. So that is where we find ourselves at the close of this week. Feels awful good to get a whole week in. We'll get a whole week in next week, too, I hope. The next time you hear the live program, it will be coming to you from the headquarters of the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., at the same time as every show. Thank you very much for all of you being so willing to keep all of this going. We need, we're looking between now and the end of July. We're looking for about 72 contributors. 71, I'm sorry, contributors to the Thrifty 250. 72. $720. And that will mercifully get us out of July. PayPal buttons at headonradionetwork.com. So's the snail mail address. Be well. Be well. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to John Fox. And thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks go out always, of course, to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and more importantly, most importantly, ACHECT.org, ACHECT.org. Go there, learn everything you can about H.R. 5959, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, then act on that. And thank you for the emails letting me know who you're contacting. We'll be working on that next week. Learn everything you can about the ACE Act, and then act on it. We need your help. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
Rick Smith is next on the Horn.